sermons and examples that are given to us. And many times those examples are illustrations, life illustrations, about what we are to be and what we are not to be. And I pray we would learn the lessons and get lined up and be what we're called to be and put the other stuff where it belongs. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to the purpose to which you've called us, that we might be the people that you've designed us to be and fulfill the calling on our life. Teach us how to do that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Pardon me. Well, some of you know that in 1776, what happened? Okay? No, this is not the 4th of July message. Although it did work. It worked really good, actually. In 1776, when our country was founded, the population of the United States was, you're not going to believe this, the same as Orange County today. The same as Orange County today. Now, at that point in time, we were able to produce leaders such as George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, and you know the whole list. You know, they all signed those famous documents out of the size of Orange County. We now have a population of over 250 million people in the U.S. And guess what? We are unable to produce these kinds of leaders. By the way, that is not my statement. That came right out of Washington, D.C., out of the mouths of the people who are saying, we're not that, and we don't know anybody who's that. We can't do that. Why? Why is that the case? Well, okay, as you're all, you may not be aware of this, but we did before the holidays actually finish the never-ending saga and series on spiritual warfare. That's when everybody started getting attacked, right? And they're still getting attacked. Watch out. If you're a director and haven't been attacked, keep your armor on strong, because one by one, we're getting it. So we ended the series on spiritual warfare. So some people have asked, what's next? Well, Hanukkah is coming. We mentioned that earlier. But we're going to do, we've already begun this, a mini-series, which means 3 or 4 weeks, on biblical leadership. Now, this is not a never-ending one. Okay, because Hanukkah is coming soon. But I ask a question. Why can't we produce those kinds of leaders today? Our education is much better than it was back then. The technology is much better. You have, and the list and everything is much better. Why can't we do it? Well, hang on. In the next 3 or 4 Shabbats or so, I'm going to answer that question. What's interesting is that the people who made that statement also answered the question correctly. It's going to surprise you. Well, what makes leaders great? Now, there's lots of leaders. Not too many great ones. What qualities do they possess that makes them great leaders? What's a great leader like? Is it, wait a minute, excuse me. Is it eloquent? I can't do that right. Eloquence? Now you can get microphones and little and somebody said it, equalizers that make you sound good, right? Why don't we get one of those? Okay. Is it eloquence? Is it the ability to speak? Is it the ability to speak? Obviously not around here. What about this? To communicate. Communication is, you know, in a relationship, communication is the most important part. In a marriage, the number one problem is communication, or lack of it, actually. But also, when things are going good, the reason is communication. Is it the ability to communicate? Is it the ability to think and analyze and process and think things through? Does that make a great leader? What was it that made our biblical heroes, our biblical leaders, great? What was it? Might be surprised on some of these guys, okay? Because actually we're kind of starting at the top and kind of, okay, we're going like this, because that's what happens in the scriptures, and you'll see why. But what made him great? How did God, here's some questions we'll be answering in the next 3 weeks. How did God select, choose, appoint, call certain people to do certain things? How did he do that? Why did he do that? How does he do it now? That's for us. How is he doing it now? What's that? How does that happen? What was his criteria? And what is it now for you to be called as a leader? What were their qualifications? What are his qualifications for leadership? Actually, they're pretty clearly stated. I guess where we're going with this is this one. So we're not talking about them so much as using them to talk about us. Do we qualify? Do we qualify to be a leader? You know what? How about a great leader? Do we qualify? We'll see. But my question is also this. Who would you choose? Who would you choose to do certain things in God's plan and purpose? And why would you choose them? And does that line up with who God chose and why he chose them? And is he choosing you for something? And is he talking to you? And maybe are you saying no? We're going there too. So a brief overview of some leaders. Abraham, might as well start there. I was going to start with Adam, but you know what? I mean, come on. Right, okay. And this morning we read about Noah. I mean, well, yeah. Everybody in the ark, or that's it. You did see the verse where it said that God brought the animals, right? You saw that verse? Because I know what you were thinking. How did he get all those animals? No, he didn't go out looking for the animals. He didn't have to say, how are we going to lasso that giraffe anyway? No, it says the animals, God brought them to him. Look it up and see. So, but how could they get all those animals in the ark anyway? And the answer is, God could have gotten them in a tin can if he wanted to, because he's sovereign. If you don't go there, you can't go to the rest of the book. That's what that stuff's all about. Abraham, let's start with him. He was called, no doubt about that. I mean, the Abrahamic covenant. He was called by God, a very dramatic call. And by the way, he was that call was restated many times. And when God would say, as you remember when we began the service, with the doublet on Samuel, Abraham, Abraham. That's the tone of voice is affection at that point. Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham would say, Hineni, here am I. Here am I, Lord, here am I. Well, that's good. We know that he's called and he answered and he said some of the right stuff. But was Abraham perfect? See, we're going places, we're looking at some of these leaders like saying, would you have chosen them? Would you have chosen them? Wait till we get to Yeshua, the ones he chose. We're going to have some fun with those guys. Okay? Was Abraham perfect? The answer? Well, what do you mean? What were some of his flaws? Well, okay, how about if I was going to this big party of these rich people, and as I'm going there, I tell Susan, by the way, I want you to tell them you're my sister tonight. It'll be to my benefit to do this. That's what he did. She's my sister. Abraham, why is he saying that? Well, she's really beautiful. God's good, isn't he, Abraham? And he gave her to you, okay? So take care of her. She's my sister. God had to intervene on that. God made some promises to Abraham. So Abraham believed God, right? Says that in Hebrews. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Well, that was the end of the story, but kind of in the middle, you know, time marched on. God said that Sarah and I are going to have a child, but we don't have a child. So you know what? Maybe we better help him out a little bit. Let's help him, okay? Okay. And Hagar, the handmaid in the whole thing. And it's interesting that Sarah approved of both of these shortcomings. She agreed to them. Not good. Now, are we still feeling the ripple effect of the Hagar thing? Oh, no. No, we're not. No. It's a tsunami effect. Okay? It's a tsunami effect. Think about it. Okay? Think about it. Well, in spite of, well, he wasn't perfect. Okay? He wasn't perfect at all. But We remember him for his obedience, don't we? And some other stuff too. How obedient was he? Well, to the point that he was willing to give up his only son. Sound familiar of what God would do for us? He was that obedient. So despite his shortcomings, he was committed to doing what God said to the point of being willing to give up his only son. And how is he remembered? Is it because of that? We talk about that one every year, but no, that's not the main reason. And by the way, whenever I bring this stuff up, it's not so we can remember or ask the question, how is Abraham remembered? But how are you going to be remembered? And how am I going to be remembered? It's getting a little easier for me. I have grandchild number 13. They started, Rebecca's going to be 19. Next month, I can't believe that. And Beth calls her Peanut, so I don't want to go there right now. Okay, she's only this big. But Isabella Sophia is only 5 days old. So I have an ever-ending Hanukkah, okay, event for many years to come. Okay? How will we be remembered? Well, Abraham, the big deal is this, that he was called the friend of God. The friend of God. Wait a minute. What is that all about? What's a friend? What's a friendship? Do you have a friend? Do you have friends? Do you have friendships? We've talked about this in time past. True friendships are hard to find and rare. They're rare. We mentioned once before that you probably only will have one really true friend in your life. One. If you have more than that, bless you. Some don't have any. A friend. It's a close fellowship. Close fellowship. He had this with God. It was two-way conversations. Not just giving your list. Lord, I want this. No. It was two-way conversations. It had to do with trusting. You know, when you have a friend that's really a friend, you can trust them. Okay? And the object is that when you give them information or something about you, that they don't hurt you. They actually help you instead. And a friend listens. Listening is very important. Listening is important. Now, who was listening to who? It was both ways. Abraham listened to God. Okay? Is God looking for friends? Might surprise you that he is. He wants a friendship relationship. Friends talk. They share. There's communication. There's community. There's trusting one another. There's loyalty in a friendship. There's loyalty. And friends listen. Friends listen. Friends listen. Who is listening? It went both ways. Abraham listened to God, and sometimes God listened to Abraham. All right? Friendship. That's the key word for Abraham, friendship. Abraham also had a concern for people. Pardon me. Do you know what I'm thinking about? Wait a minute. If I say something about, okay, how do you feel about the people of Sodom? Whoa. You know. How did Abraham feel about the people of Sodom? It's interesting. He had a concern for people. The Lord appears to him. And the Lord's marching towards Sodom. It's going to be destroyed. And so Abraham began to negotiate. Something like, 50. For 50 righteous. The Lord stopped and said, for 50 righteous, I won't destroy the city. He kept walking. 40. For 40 righteous, I'll spare the city. For 30. For 30, I'll spare the city. 50, 40, 30, 50, for 20. For 20, I'll spare the city. Keeps on walking. Okay, for 10. For 10, the Lord said, and Abraham's thinking, for a minion? There's got to be a minion there, right? The Lord said, for 10, I'll spare the city. He kept walking. Abraham's thinking, there's got to be 10. There's got to be 10. There wasn't. But all that shows me about him, he has a concern for people. He didn't want to see them blown up. You know, we think in terms of who our enemies are. And some people, groups, and countries, and organizations might come to mind, and we want to blow them up. But they want to blow us up. But what did Yeshua say about that? That maybe we should pray for them. Their hearts are changed. See, that was Abraham's heart. Kind of the opposite of Jonah. Jonah went out. He loved his statement, 40 days, and you're done. 40 days, and you're done. And I can't wait to see that. I'm going to go sit under this tree and watch you done, 40 days. They repented. Okay, they repented. And Jonah got mad about that. But Abraham's heart was the opposite. He was hoping they would repent, but they didn't. But that shows you about what's in Abraham. And I like that his blood runs through you. Okay? Because that's compassion for people who are wrong. I want to see him repent and come to the Lord and do right. So Abraham, friendship is our key word for him. Friendship. As a quality of leadership. Friendship with God. With God. Close fellowship. Moses. What can we say about Moses? Well, okay. First of all, God calls a man with a speech impediment. Okay? He has a speech impediment. And what does he call him to do? Well, he's sending him. God says, I'm sending you to speak. Okay? I'm sending you to speak. Excuse me. That's a little problem here. Now you're going to speak. Who am I going to speak to? You're going to speak to the king of the only superpower in the world. And you're going to tell him to let 3 million people go. Okay. The guy with the speech impediment, right? By the way, are you aware that of all the leaders we know about, that Moses was the most criticized of all leaders? He was the most criticized. But you know what? He met with God face to face. Face to face. Maybe the closer you get to the Lord, the more of a target you are. Okay? He met with God face to face. He was also remembered as the most humble man that ever lived. Was Moses perfect? No. Well, he committed murder. Whoa. You thought nobody saw. No, he committed murder. A murderer? He probably had to go to anger management classes for 40 years. Think about it. Always hitting stuff. Can you imagine Joshua and Caleb? Moses, next time don't hit the rock. Hit that guy. Okay? Whack him. Not the rock. And as Moses responded to his call, I love this. Where are my glasses? Okay. My glasses. I'm missing. I did bring them up here. Well, you know what? You missed the announcement. Susan's up in Hollywood seeing Isabella. I had them a moment ago. I brought them up here. I took them out. I put them down. Well, never mind. We won't quite go there. Let's go from memory. You remember the burning bush incident. Okay, so Moses sees that, goes over, and he hears God's voice. Moses, Moses. Two times. Moses, Moses. And what does he say? Hineni, here am I. This is great. This is great. And then God says, okay, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You're going to speak to him and tell him to let my people go. It's not going to be easy. He's not going to do that. There's going to be some issues and so on, but I'm going to come through and there's going to be all these miracles. Moses keeps on saying, no. Excuse me, but here's, what was the first one? Wait a minute, stop. Now imagine this conversation. Here's a burning bush. And he said, Hineni. And so the Lord says to Moses, okay, you're going back and you're going to tell the people about this event and bring them out of Egypt. And Moses says, wait a minute, they're going to ask me some questions. They're going to say, who are you? What's your name? God says, okay, tell them, I am who I am. I am has sent you. I am. Okay, it's not going to, that's thinking of something different, I'm sure of that. But, okay, by the way, what if they don't believe me that I saw a burning bush and talked to you? God says, well, I'll do some miracles. He gives a whole list. I'll do some miracles. He's like, yeah, but what, okay, but what if Pharaoh won't, well, Pharaoh's not. We're going to have a lot of miracles. Egypt is going to be like this, and then you're going to bring them out. And finally, Moses was out of step. Remember, what was the last thing he said? And he interrupted God. He says, excuse me, there's got to be somebody else you can send. There's got to be somebody else. It's like, look around, Moses. It's a really big desert here. You're it. Okay? Didn't I just, like, talk to you? Moses, yeah. Then, I love the next verse, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why? Because he didn't want to follow his call. You want to make God angry? This is it. Don't follow your call. Say no. Say no. See how that works, okay? Well, the man with a speech impediment, see, the movies have it all wrong. See, Charlton Heston with all the Ben-Hur. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. That's the movie. Real life was, the Lord. And you can just see Pharaoh going, who is this? Who is this? But you see, this is important to see who God uses. To do big stuff, to speak on his behalf, the one who can't do it. The one who can't do it. And I imagine that the first couple of times he was just laughed out of there. About the third plague, it's like, hey, there's something going on here. It's not the eloquence, it's something else. It's something else. In Numbers 12, verse 3, it says, Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. So we remember Abraham for his friendship with God, but with Moses, it's humility, his own humility. Now, wait a minute. Today, people want strong leaders. You know, humble means kind of weak, meek, weak. They want strong leaders, right? Was Moses a strong leader? If he picks up that rod, get out of the way, okay? Watch out. Yeah, but he was humble, which is a biblical trait of leadership. The highest quality possible. Because that's how he's to be remembered. That's how he's to be remembered. Well, let's do one more. I wanted to get to two more, but we'll do one. We'll pick it up next week. Gideon. Okay, here we go. Question, where was Gideon when God called him? What was he doing? God called him into service. Yeah, well, okay, the angel of the Lord shows up. That's impressive in itself, right? I would like that. The angel of the Lord appears and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I'm sure Gideon is looking around, okay? He was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, you have to go to Israel to see this. You don't do that. You don't thresh wheat. You thresh wheat on a threshing floor on the top of a hill. The wine press is in a cave. He was hiding from the enemy. He was hiding. The mighty man of valor was hiding. In Judges chapter 6, Sarah, I'll take your glasses this time. I have no idea where mine went. I brought them up here. They can't be too far. Hey, thank you. They pray for a miracle. Holy cow, we have the same problem, okay? I'll pray for you if you pray for me. In fact, you should get some little stronger to be good. All right, now catch this picture. The angel of the Lord appears to him and says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And look at this reaction. Well, if the Lord's with us, then why has all this junk happened to us? I'm sure there was the Yiddish word right in the middle of all that too. And where are all of his miracles anyway, which our fathers told us about? You know, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Where are those miracles? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, what kind of a response is that when the angel of the Lord appears to you and calls you? Look at this response. Oh, yeah? The Lord is with us? Then why is all this stuff going on? The Lord answered and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Oh, that's the key right there. Have I not sent you? I have sent you. Then Gideon's response goes on like this. It's like, excuse me. Allow me to interrupt, angel of the Lord. I think the angel of the Lord is impressive looking myself, but Gideon didn't seem to mind that. Excuse me. But in case you haven't looked it up in the books, I'm of the tribe of Manasseh. That's the smallest tribe. Okay, my clan happens to be the smallest clan in the tribe of Manasseh. And if you haven't noticed, I'm the smallest person in my family. Have you noticed that? And God's response was, yeah, that's all true, but I am with you. I am with you. In fact, only you at this point in time. See, that's what he said to Abraham, I am with you. And that's what he said to Moses, I am with you. And that's what he said to Gideon. And of course, Gideon's response is, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not really you. I have an idea. Let's do the fleece thing. Let's do it three times. Just to make sure, three times. Can you picture God's reaction to some of this stuff? To all these guys, you know, it's like, okay, we'll do the fleece thing three times, okay? And it worked. He says, okay, now I know I'm supposed to do this. So now I'm going to go gather a big army, right? Well, yeah. You take your 30,000 and send home 20 who are afraid, okay? And the 10,000 you have left, let's select who's going to fight. Okay, we'll select them by how they fight, right? No, by how they drink. Okay. Okay, get it, and you have 300. 300 is my army. I had 30,000. We're going to go with 300 to go against the entire army of the Midianites, right? And I'm, by the way, I'm a farmer, okay? I was threshing wheat. So now let's go to the supply tent and get our weapons. What do they get? Okay, each of his 300 gets a pitcher, a water pot, a pitcher, okay? A torch and a shofar. Excuse me, Lord, what about the bows and arrows and spears and shields and swords? I was expecting some of that stuff. Nope, this is all you'll need. Well, he was a mighty man of valor. Who would have gone to battle like that? He did. And he won. You know why? Okay, the military today uses this account as a classic example of nighttime warfare. This is the first recorded case of nighttime warfare. And at night, things are changed. They're different. They're scary. You can't see stuff very well. And what happened was this, that inside the pitcher was the torch. And as they dropped the pitchers, 300 of them at once, it made this sound. When you're in night field training in the military, you hear these sounds, okay? And they can be scary. All of a sudden, there's a torch, and then the shofar is blown. Back in that day, the person with a torch and blowing the shofar would be leading 1,000 troops. So at night, they thought there were 300,000. What, is that right? No, my math is bad. 10,000. No, we have 300 times 1,000. 300,000, that's right the first time. Okay, thanks. 300,000 troops, when actually there were 300. And the confusion and fear spread through the camp, and they all ran away. So God knew what he was doing. He was teaching Gideon, you know, you can trust me. It's not your greatness. It's my greatness. He was a mighty man of valor. He became a general, and he became a judge. And a good one. He was offered the kingdom, and he said no. That was a good move. But God has to ask himself as he's selecting these leaders some questions. And we're going to ask those in the next 2 or 3 weeks. You know, God says to himself, maybe, you know, I call Abraham. And he argues with me, you know? I call Moses, and he argues with me. I call Gideon. He has to do the fleece three times. He argues with me, okay? Maybe I should start calling somebody else. Okay, maybe this bloodline, I don't know what's going on. What's interesting is that in all of that, it's a real positive thing. Because in that, you have just what I talked about of the example of Abraham's life. That you have fellowship, communication, friendship, debate. See, you can talk like that to your friends. You can say, you have got to be kidding. But you see, when you're talking to God like that, we say, but that's a Jewish way to work with God. There's debate, there's even arguing. And what amazes me is that sometimes they win, okay? Abraham debated and argued with God. Why? Because he was a friend. You see all this stuff going on? Because friends can do this. They can debate, they can argue. They can say, come on, come on. God likes that. Come on, let's have some debate. Because it's communication, it's talking. You got to be kidding. You're sending me where? Why? Well, he'll start telling you why. Every time somebody asks a question, they get the answer. This is why, this is where, this is who. Whoa. because you get the answers that you want that way. So that kind of stuff is not wrong. How do you remember Abraham? He was what? Friend. Friendship. Friends of God. What about Moses? Humble. Humility. Gideon. His courage. He was a mighty man of valor. He did it. He went into battle. You know, if those guys are, you know, they're all drinking like this, I'm saying, you know what? Without swords and shields and spears and bows and arrows, I'm not going. Now, that's kind of me. He said, okay, Lord. He was, you know, the Lord was whittling him down to where he said, okay, I will do what you say. And the reason was because I know it's you now. Okay, I've had my questions answered. We did the fleece. We did this, we did this. And now you said you're going to have the victory. And we remember Gideon as a mighty man of valor, because he was, because he was. How will you be remembered? How's your humility? You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Yeshua said that was a classic qualification of leadership. Blessed are the meek. That's the humble. How's your friendship level with the Lord? You ever tell God you just don't like stuff? You should. You should. You ever just thank him for a little thing? You should. Because friends talk, friends communicate, friends spend time together. You should. Sometimes we need courage because the enemy's attacking us, and he is in this congregation. We just stand up and fight against the enemy. But you don't do it with the way the world does it. You do it with the equipment he gives to you. We've been equipped with spiritual gifts. We have the equipment, we have the empowerment via the Holy Spirit to fight back, to use the armor of God, and to win. And we're supposed to do that. We're to be courageous and humble at the same time. And the most important thing is we can look the enemy right in the face and say, we are friends of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. We are his friend. At the Last Seder, those were the exact words of Yeshua to his disciples. Because from a formal school of discipleship, of being students, he moved to the next level, the most important level of all. He says, you're my friends. You're my friends. And I'm going to lay my life down for my friends. And I don't think I do it for my students, but for my friends I will. But that's the relationship we're taught. It's a friendship relationship. That opens the door to all the rest. Spend time with him. He wants to hear from you. It's okay to debate a little bit. Throw out the things you don't like. See what he says about it. Next week, we're going to start with Samuel, the little boy who heard from the Lord. Now, if a little child were to prophesy, would you? No. Think about that. Samuel, Samuel. What did he say? Hineni. Then what did he say? We're starting here next week. What were those classic words? Speak. For your servant hears. Oh, that's a biggie. A qualification of leadership. Lord, I want you to speak because I'm listening. Can you say that? I hope. If you're wanting to be a leader, you better do that one. Because in the book of Acts, week after week, we are teaching they heard from God. And they did what they did because they heard from God. They just didn't think it was a good idea. They didn't have a committee meeting. The meetings were to determine if they really heard from God. They said, yeah, we have. Okay, then that's what we're doing. That was the basis. Expect to hear from him. And then do what he says. Speak, for your servant is listening. Lord, may that be our prayer today. May we invite you to speak to us. May we have ears that hear and a heart that's open to receive and understand what you want to tell us. And then I pray for the boldness and the energy and the power to go and do. And I pray that we would live our lives before the world around us according to these principles, and that these godly men and women in Scripture and what made them great, we can look at those things and develop those qualities in our own lives, in the lives of our Shabbat school kids and our families. That those are spiritual qualities. Not one of them physical, but they're all spiritual qualities. May we be addressing and developing those and growing in those, that we might do better and grow stronger, and reach more people in Yeshua's name. Lord, I thank you for your instructions. And the people, the men, the women that you called, help us to learn from them what made them great, that we might look within us and say, Lord, Are you calling me to fulfill a specific purpose, a part of a specific plan? And if you are, I'm willing to do that, no matter what the cost. And as you respond to that call and begin to do that plan, you'll be blessed, because that's his plan for you, in Yeshua's name.